Masechet Shavuot, Perek Vav, Mishnah Gimel. We'll continue talking about Modeh B'Miksat cases. What cases are actually considered to be Modeh B'Miksat that a person would have to swear? Often it depends on the wording of the Shavuah. Mishnah says, Litra Zahav Yesh Li Biadecha. Someone says to another person, I left a litra of gold, a certain measurement of gold by you. And the person responds, En Li Biadi Ela Litra Kesef. He says, no, I only have a litra of kesef by me, of silver by me. I don't have any gold by me. We say patur. He is not obligated to swear that he doesn't have the gold because he's only admitting to silver. He's not admitting to any gold. So therefore, his admission of silver is not considered to be modeh b'miksat because he's not admitting to any part of the claim of gold. But dinar zahav yesh li biadecha. Somebody says, I have a gold dinar that I left by you. And the person responds, En lecha biyadi ela dinar kesef, utrisit, upundeyon, upruta. The person says, no, I don't have your gold dinar coin by me, but I have either a silver coin, or a terisit coin, or a pundeyon, or a piruta coin. I have one of those. In that case, hayav, he would be obligated to swear that he does not have the full amount that's being claimed against him. Why? Shehakol min matbea echad, because all coins, regardless of the type of metal that they're coming from, are considered to be one type of item, money. It's all within that classification. So if somebody admits to having some of the money, therefore he is modeh b'miksat, his admission to having a smaller coin is considered to be admitting part of the claim, and therefore he would have to swear. A similar situation with produce. Kor tevuah yesh li biyadecha. Someone says to another person, I have a kor of grain of mine that I left by you. And the person responds, En lecha biyadi ela letech kitnit. The person responds, no, I don't have a kor, rather I have a letech, which is half of a kor, and it's beans. It's not grain. In that case, patur. He's not obligated to swear that he doesn't have any grain, because beans are not part of the grain classification, and therefore his admission that he has beans is not considered to be admitting anything in terms of grain. Kor perot yesh li biyadecha. But if somebody says, I have a kor of produce, which is a very general term, he says, then I left that by you. And then the person responds, En lecha biyadi ela letech kitnit. And the person says, no, you only have a letech, which is half of a kor of beans by me. So in that case, hayav, he would be obligated to swear that he does not have more than that letech, because it's considered to be modeh b'miksat case, shakitnit bichlal perot, because beans are included in the general, generic category of produce. So by admitting that he has beans, he is modeh b'miksat, he's admitting part of the claim for produce. The next part of the Mishnah will have a mahloket, which will also reveal an opinion that disagrees with these two cases that we just went through. Te'ano hitin vehodalo b'sorim. Somebody had a claim against another person, and he said that he left a certain amount of wheat by another person. And that person said, no, you don't have any wheat by me. Rather, you have se'orim, you have barley by me. In that case, patur, like these other cases we mentioned, he's not obligated to swear the modeh b'miksat shevuah, because he didn't admit to having any wheat, and he said he had barley by him, but wheat and barley are two different items, and therefore his admission of the barley is not considered to be admitting anything regarding the claim for the wheat. So therefore he's not modeh b'miksat, and therefore he would not have to swear. But Rabban Gamliel mehayev, but Rabban Gamliel obligates him to swear that he does not owe the wheat that's being claimed. According to Rabban Gamliel, modeh b'miksat works differently than we thought until now. According to him, he says that if one admits owing any type of item to the person who has a claim against him, then he is modeh b'miksat and he is obligated in the swear. So if he's admitting that he owes something, he is obligated to make the shivuah. So in this case, he's admitting that he owes barley, and therefore he's considered to be, according to Rabban Gamliel, modeh b'miksat, and he would have to swear. He would also, according to this, disagree with the earlier two opinions when it comes to the modeh b'miksat when it comes to the gold, and the modeh b'miksat when it comes to the the grain versus the beans, that other second case that we had, Rabban Gamliel would say that the person has to swear in those cases as well. Another machloket when it comes to the Shivu'ah of Modeh B'miksat, Hatu'en l'chaviro b'kadeh shemen. If somebody has a claim against his friend, and he says that his friend owes him, for example, jugs of oil. Let's say he says he owes him 10 jugs of oil. V'hodalo b'kankanim. And the other person who he had a claim against admits that he owes him empty jugs, but he denies the claim about the oil. So is this considered to be a case of modeh b'miksat or not? Admon Omer, ho'il v'hodalo miksat mimina ta'ana yishaba. Says Admon, since he admitted to part of the claim, he admitted to the jugs, even though he denied the oil, says Admon, that's considered to be a case of modeh b'miksat, and he would have to swear that he doesn't owe the oil. According to him, if there's a claim of two things, in this case the oil and the jug, and the person admits to owing one of the two, that's considered to be modeh b'miksat. He's admitting to part of the claim. It's one big claim. Even though there's two items, he's admitting one of them, so he's modeh b'miksat, and therefore he would have to swear. V'chamim omrim, en ha'hoda'a mimin hata'ana. Hachamim disagree with Admon, and they say, the admission is not for the same kind of item that there was a claim on, and therefore he does not have to swear. According to the Hachamim, it's not one big claim going on over here, it's two. One for the jugs, and one for the oil. Two different claims going on. So, when a person here is admitting that he owes the jugs, he's fully admitting one of the two claims. When he is denying that he owes the oil, he is not modeh b'miksat, he's fully denying that over there. So therefore, it's not a case of modeh b'miksat. He's admitting fully to one claim and denying the other, so therefore there's no reason to swear. Amar Rabban Gamliel, ro'e ani et divrei Edmon. Says Rabban Gamliel, I see the words of Edmon as being correct. Whenever somebody is denying a partial claim when it comes to land, so he's modeh b'miksat about land, uniquely, because it's land, he does not have to swear. The Torah says that there's no modeh b'miksat by land. We'll elaborate more on this in the fifth Mishnah in this Perek. We'll now talk about a situation where somebody is claiming both movable property and land. How does that work in terms of modeh b'miksat? Is it one entity, the movable property, together with the land, or is it viewed as separate entities? If somebody had a claim against another person about both utensils, kelim, and also karkaot, land, and the other person admitted that he owed the utensils, but denied owing the land, or he admitted that he owed the land, but denied owing the utensils, we say patur, he's not obligated to swear about the property that he denies, because whenever he's admitting or denying anything to do with land, there is no shevu'ah. And we would say that even according to Admon, who said earlier that whenever there's a claim that has two things, admitting one of them is modeh b'miksat, here, in this case, he would agree that there's no shevu'ah because the claim involves land. A second case, hodeh b'miksat ha-karka'ot. If he claimed utensils and land, and the other person admitted that he owed part of the land, but he denied owing the rest of it, and he denied owing the utensils as well, patur, he's not obligated to swear, because the claim and the admitting are both about land. So therefore, he's modeh b'miksat, but again, when it has to do with land, he is patur. The third case, b'miksat ha-kelim. If a person had a claim of utensils and land and against the person, and the other person admitted that he owed part of the utensils alone, but he denied owing the rest of the kelim and any of the land whatsoever, hayav, he would be obligated to swear both about the utensils and also about the land. He's swearing about the utensils because he admits owing to some of them. So therefore, he's modeh b'miksat of the utensils, and therefore he has to swear about the rest of them. And he swears about the land as well. Why? Shehanechasim she'en lehem achrayut zokekin et hanechasim she'esh lehem achrayut lishaba lehen. Because when it comes to swears, movable property, in this case utensils, they obligate real property, which is land, to the chiyuv, to the requirement that a person swears about them, even though there's no swear about the land itself. Once a person is obligated to swear, because he has to swear about the utensils, because he was modeh b'miksat about the utensils, we do something called gilgul shevuah. We roll in another detail about a swear, and we're going to require him to swear about the land as well, even though ordinarily, in a normal situation, the land wouldn't be subject to a swear. Uniquely here, while he's already swearing, throw in the kitchen sink, throw in details about the land as well. So, since it's not creating the Shivua is being created by the Modeh b'miksat about the Kelim. But once that's happening already, we're going to obligate him to swear about the land as well.